And welcome into the Monday edition. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Ian Safar here with you on this Monday morning. Hope everybody had a fantastic weekend. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Joe Rex Road, how are we doing? What's going on?
Yeah, I'm fine, but I mean, we just saw the last 5 minutes of a Charmed episode with Alyssa Milano looking like she could launch 100 wars, but let's watch 5 straight minutes of Goo Goo Dolls.
I'm sure a great episode. Goo Goo Dolls with quite the cameo in there. It's a long time.
They really, really leaned in on the Goo Goo Dolls.
I like Goo Goo Dolls, but that was
another episode. You got to take this off the TV.
I don't know if Joe's going to be okay over here.
My God.
A lot of Alyssa Milano going on.
People just don't appreciate Alyssa Milano.
We do on this program here in the morning.
That's right.
Ian, how we doing? What's going on?
Oh, doing great. Happy Monday, everybody. Welcome back, Robbie.
Thank you.
Good to see you. Love that hat.
Yes.
Snagging new lid there.
Little Mighty Ducks.
Is that from the trip?
I have actually had it before the trip, but I think I got it down there at some point.
Okay.
But I needed a Disney hat and was like, yeah, we'll go Mighty Ducks. Why not? It's good stuff.
So, yeah.
A lot of comments on it.
How's the mouse?
The mouse is great. We have entered officially with the toddler into the Frozen era,
yeah,
which she was previously unaware of, but Anna and Elsa,
big
members of our household right now, let me tell you.
Did you watch the movie first?
We rode the ride. They got a Frozen ride.
There we go.
And we rode it,
yep,
and she loved it. And then we watch the movie, and we're totally screwed.
And that's it.
It's just done. Yeah.
So
that's
all
it's
on. It's hard to beat Frozen.
All it's on in our house right now is Frozen. Frozen.
Frozen 2.
Robbie and Rex Road. We've watched Frozen 2.
Is there a Frozen 3?
I don't think so.
No. Frozen 2.
Not yet.
Frozen 2 was okay.
Yeah, it was all right.
Frozen's a good movie. Yeah. Like, of the Disney movie, Frozen is good.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
A lot of singing. Yeah. Which, about every 15 seconds they break out in the song, and it's like,
we got
another song.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's true. Has she watched, I think this is one of my favorite, it went through watching all these, for a time period. Oh, my gosh, the Rapunzel one.
Oh, yeah.
Tangled.
She's Tangled.
Yeah.
She has not seen that yet.
Because that one. I mean, I think that's one of the best ones they've done.
Okay. I've not seen it, so I need to check that out.
Yeah, so if you get to the point where, the Frozen's like, oh, my gosh. Try a little Tangled. I don't know if is Tangled for a little bit older. Maybe you have to be – should it be,
Yeah.
I mean, all these movies have, adult themes that,
should be probably
that
okay.
We get that the kids don't get, right?
Sure.
Yeah. So Tangled would be a good curveball potential for you.
Okay. I have to keep that one in mind because I can tell you.
You might need one.
The Frozen's – we're going to get there pretty quickly with me. All right, let's watch anything else right now. She does, we flipped on the show a few times as we were going to and from places, and she just points out, Joe, there's Joe. So
nice. All right.
Joe Rexroad, big celebrity for Allison Stanley.
There we go. Keeping focused on Robbie and Rexroad.
That's
right. Even on vacation.
That's right. We got a lot of things to get to today on the program. Corey Curtis from News 2 will be with us. At 8 o'clock, we will get into all things Titans with him. Titans held a practice at Nissan Stadium over the weekend. A couple different takeaways from that to get into coming up here in just a few minutes as well. I do want to start on this real quick. I was out last week, and obviously the passing of Aaron Donick, just tragic. And I saw Willie come back on last week, and I just wanted to say, I just thought that he displayed – incredible strength last week, and it was really inspiring to watch him get back on the air and listen to some of the things he had to say about his wife and just the response with the passing of Aaron Donick from our listeners. Watching that from afar was really, really cool to see how many lives she touched. So obviously a horrible situation, but just wanted to say that.
Yeah, no doubt. It's mind-boggling to me, how Willie has handled this. And, we replayed – actually, with Kaharski on Friday, we replayed Willie and what his opening comments from when he came back to DVD. The outpouring from listeners has been amazing. The stories about her, Kaharski had a great story about her. So, it really is in tragedy. I agree with you; it's inspiring.
Yeah, no doubt about that. So we appreciate all the responses. and I know Willie does too. He talked about this when he came back of just it's been really difficult for him to get back to everybody, but he sees him and really appreciates that. So keep those coming for Willie. Titans, we'll get into the Cam Ward part of this here in just a few minutes. Also another injury that took place over the weekend that we'll get into in just a few minutes as well. I do want to kind of start on some things that I missed last week on the Will Levis front. What was your take on Will Levis pulling the plug on the season right before it began?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Titans don't love it, and so I guess what my question would be, like, was this kind of the idea all along? Like, I'm not going to go through this stuff. You know, again, to me, if that's the case, that strategy with your agent, I don't know. Or is it just as simple as, I mean, this is one of those things, I don't know the answer here. Is it he went through everything, they talked about it, he went through everything and finally is like, yeah, it's just not getting better, so I'm going to do it. The timing, though, is like.
Timing's not great.
Yeah, the timing's not great because, and again, I mean, Kaharski's asking the question last week, the right question, which is, okay, well, we watched him during the spring throwing, didn't seem like it was an issue. Was he full go? And they're like, yep, it's full go. I mean, you can tell they're not happy about it. And Brian Callahan was asked about, well, what about like Levis coming back? And he's like, yeah, we'll see. I mean, I don't think we're going to see. I could be wrong, but I don't think we're going to see Will Levis take another snap in any sort of form for the Titans again. Now, how does that happen? I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, and maybe it comes back around. And okay, so next year they can display him in the preseason and move him. But I feel like, as we talked about before, moving him would have made sense earlier. You know, you just move on, give him another chance somewhere else, and then just – because, like, I mean, he's kind of a distraction at this point, right?
I would agree. Now, I also I saw, and this happened, and we're going to get into this with Treylon Burks a little bit too. More of this chatter I saw last week was coming from around the league rather than here locally when we're kind of in the weeds of it here. But it's like, well, now Brandon Allen's going to have to be the backup quarterback for the Titans. And it's like, yeah, I think Brandon Allen was going to be the backup quarterback for the Titans regardless. Like, I understand that Will Levis is more talented than Brandon Allen, but they brought Brandon Allen in here for a reason, and I don't think it was ever for Brandon Allen to be the third-string quarterback. That's just me.
Yeah, well, I think that they brought him in to be QB2, but also with the idea that Levis would be somewhere else, you know? I mean, I, and again, it's not like – I mean, I have no idea. There's no way they're unrealistic about the return on Levis. It's not going to be anything,
no.
You know? So – I agree. Now, I mean, I know like Jared is like there, he had no chance to be QB2. I don't know if I agree with that. I mean, I feel like Levis, if he was out here on the practice fields, he couldn't have played great this month and convinced them. Okay, actually, yeah. Like I mean, Brandon Allen has displayed very little.
Yeah, I mean, look.
Brandon Allen is a low level QB2.
I agree.
So. Yeah, but I think that they're fine with. I don't think this has some big impact. It's just annoying to them that, you know, after all of that, we get to this.
How about the? I have to say something on this real quick. I know this is old news last week, but are we just going to have every year the Titans have a player that just retires in the office, like right before camp? It's like, hey, you know, I've been around the Titans for a few weeks, and I think I'd rather just stop playing football.
Like I don't like football anymore.
You know, football has been the passion of my life. And then I got here, and I'd rather go do anything else. Like, I'm going to go work anywhere else than right here, right now. Shout out to Lorenzo Carter.
Yeah, the latest. Made me hate football. Yeah, it's wild. Yeah, they've had and I even going back to what's his name? The great pass rusher from Atlanta. Who
Vic Beasley.
Yeah, Beasley, who Vrabel is going to coach him up.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
He retired. He just didn't tell anybody.
Right.
Until after.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. He was retired. Like, they actually were paying him when he was retired. Yeah. Yeah, it's quite a – I don't know. I don't know what that's all about.
So
they're on quite a run.
Yeah, they are on quite a run. They had their practice at Nissan Stadium over the weekend. Cam Ward generated some headlines from that, which we'll get to here in just a few minutes. Treylon Burks with an injury, Joe, and breaks his collarbone and is going to miss at least the first part of the season. We'll see exactly what his timeline ends up looking like after that. But Burks, it is kind of amazing. Like, you know, you're talking about your weekend camp, and you're already talking about yet another injury with Treylon Burks when they've not put the pads on yet. They've not even come close to really having all that much contact out there. He's laying out for a football, and here we are already talking about a Treylon Burks injury.
Yeah. And, you know, I must say the topic, the way you wrote out the topic for the next segment is exactly, I feel the exact same way. Like some of the reaction to this is just like, yeah. Oh, my God!
It's really crazy to me
that
I saw some of this on Saturday. We're going to get into that coming up next. Treylon Burks goes down, and there's something about all this that I just don't understand. I really don't, and we'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Treylon Burks sustaining a fractured collarbone at the open practice at Nissan Stadium on Saturday. So yet another injury that the former first-round pick for the Tennessee Titans is dealing with. Goes, apparently, you know, TD put this out there, and this has been widely reported, tried to make a diving one-handed catch during team period of practice and landed on the collarbone, and now we're talking about another injury for Treylon Burks. And we'll see exactly what that means for his timeline. Let me say this, Joe. I legitimately feel bad for Treylon Burks. I do. Like, the guy has had terrible injury luck. Like, it's to the point now with how many different injuries he's had where you just have to say the dude is injury prone. He cannot stay healthy out there. And I do legitimately feel bad for him because he seems like a really good guy. And it just doesn't look like it's going to work out for him in the NFL. So let me start with that. I feel bad for him. I really do. But the way that some of the reaction was on Saturday when he got hurt and his collarbone injury, both here locally and around the league, some of the discussion around him of, well, now the Titans are going to be without Treylon Burks, and what are they going to do? Like, that's a former first-round pick out there. And it's like, I don't think his injury, just purely from a football standpoint, I don't think his injury changes anything about the wide receiver room for the 2025 NFL roster of the Tennessee Titans one bit. I don't think it changes anything. I don't think he was making the team. I think it was going to be harder. It's so hard for him to make this team based on where they're at with their roster right now and just how unreliable he's been. I think he would have had to have been otherworldly in training camp to make this team. And some of the reaction of like, well, who's going to be the number two wide receiver for the Titans now that Treylon Burks gone? It's like, you guys are just not in touch with what's going on out there. I don't think, again, I feel bad for him. He was not making this team. He just wasn't. And we'll see what he does now and how the injury kind of affects things and where the Titans go from there from their roster standpoint. But I don't think that injury has any tangible effect on the football part of this one bit for the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, way overstated. And, yeah, two things about it that are annoying. One is, yeah, I feel bad for him too. I think sometimes, you know, it's like, people shouldn't be mad at Treylon Burks right now. Like, it sucks for him. Like, as much as you think it sucks, if you still were harboring hope that he was going to nearly help your football team, again, that was a faint hope at this point. But at this point, I mean, you got to feel bad for the guy. The guy can't, I mean, you know, the guy's going to have a hard time staying in the league because he can't stay in one piece. And again, he's been hurt multiple times by like high effort plays.
Yeah.
It's like, never, ever dive for a ball again. Well, for whatever reason, whenever you dive for a ball, and he is a big body guy, so I guess that, you know, I guess that kind of explains it. Like, you know, it just something bad happens. So I feel bad for him. I mean, I understand people, if you want to go back and say, again, John Robinson, you know, is this the worst move in franchise history or how one of the worst moves? That's fine. But, yeah, I feel sympathy for him. And then on your other point, yeah, I mean, look, He still has the talent level to where, you know, if he had a great camp because of the state of this particular receiver room, I mean, it's possible that he would have made the team. But even that, he certainly isn't high in the pecking order. I mean, I just don't see any way he's high in the pecking order. It would have taken, you know, a lot. At this point, you were really operating on hope. And it was already a remote possibility. So it is. I've saw some reaction too, and some of that is it's like the NFL at large is people just not knowing the Titans, right? I saw when Levis got hurt last week. He was like, "Well, I guess that QB competition in Nashville isn't happening." Like, oh, okay. So you pay close attention to the Tennessee Titans. Congratulations. Yeah. So some of it is that, but yeah, this is not ultimately, I don't think he was going to make the team either. I just feel it just sucks for him because, like, from here, you know, he'll get a shot somewhere else. But at this point, you have to just assume he's not going to be able to stay healthy.
No, I think you had to assume that anyway, and now this is just another log on top of that. And again, like, that's why I say he would have had to have just been unbelievable in training camp, because I think even prior to this injury, he had reached the point where if you're Brian Callahan and the coaching staff, you're looking at him and you're saying, all right, let's say he did have a pretty good camp. How do you trust it? How do you possibly trust translating what you saw in camp to what he brings to the table on the field? Like, because he's not done any of that at this point in his career. I mean, you're talking about Treylon Burks, his Titans career in terms of on-field production is probably over. Like, he's probably done at this point. He has given you 53 catches for 699 yards and one touchdown. That's what you've gotten out of Treylon Burks.
Beautiful touchdown.
It was. 53 catches, 699 yards, and one touchdown. Which, by the way, were numbers that some people were talking he should surpass in year one with the Titans as a rookie. And that's where his Titans career, I believe, is going to end. 53 catches.
Yep. All around. And again, going back to that move. I mean, it is, now that we, I think, can put a bow on Treylon Burks with the Titans. Yeah, that move will be studied. That John Robinson trade will be studied and discussed for a long time to come. You know, it's among the things about it that were just so ridiculous. It's just to put that kind of pressure on a rookie. And again, I'm not saying that's why it didn't work out. You know, it didn't work out because, you know, like the guy who can't stay healthy is probably the biggest reason careers don't work out in the NFL, I believe.
Yes, that's probably, yeah, that's fair.
But when you have a great player, oh, this guy kind of looks like him, and he's also a big body SEC receiver. Okay, great. We'll just swap him in. Oh, just awful.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Claudius on the YouTube chat says, did anyone see Matt Cassel on the NFL Network call him Tyrone Burks? I did. They were interviewing Cam Ward.
He spaced.
Yeah, and he called him Tyrone Burks, which is
at the T.
It's like, wow.
He couldn't remember his name, and then just like Tyrone went with his team name, and it's like, ah.
Just go Burks. Just say Burks.
It's just Burks, man. It's all good.
Yeah, I did not see that. How was Matt Cassel?
It was all right. Yeah. Okay, interview with Cam Ward. I mean, they asked him a lot of the. So. You guys have a veteran offensive line. What do you think about that? It's like, all right. I think he's answered the same question.
They
asked about
coming, showing up at 5 a.m.
Yeah, I think they did at some point.
I hope so.
It's good.
I get there about 5:30.
Yeah, it's like, guys, we've established Cam Ward gets in the building early.
So he changed it to 5:30.
I think he said 5:30.
I think he did. Very disappointing.
Sleeping, getting a little bit more sleep.
Yeah.
A little bit more sleep.
Way after Brinker gets there. Brinker gets there at like 2 a.m. from what I hear.
Yeah. I saw that last week. So we'll see what Treylon Burks does from here. I think you hit it right on the head. Like, I think he's going to have a tough time staying in the league. Maybe, you know, next year somebody takes a shot on him because he's a former first-round pick and they bring him into camp. But I got a feeling we may not see Treylon Burks take an actual NFL snap ever.
Yeah, that may not be. He obviously has traits. He's a good at. I mean, look, the guy, I think he still gets dogged by how he showed up. He was out of shape, and then all the stuff that happened with that first mini camp or whatever that was, OTA or whatever, where, you know, then the asthma, all that stuff. But, I mean, really, like, he has worked hard to try to make it, and he was having a really good camp before he got hurt the one, you know, a couple years ago. I mean, yep. So it's not like he's just come out and dogged it. This is not like, you know, this is not an Isaiah Wilson bus story. It's an injury one. So, he'll get another chance. As you continue to sustain these injuries, how do you expect you're going to start avoiding them all of a sudden?
Yeah, that's a good question on that part of it. Like, you know, at this point, if you're him, do you look around and say, do I want to keep doing this? Like, you know, I know the money, if you can, you know, you're a first round pick, you've gotten paid some decent money to this point. You know, and the production has not been there, and the money moving forward when you get beyond this deal is going to be very minimal by NFL standards and not guaranteed at all.
Right.
So do you want to continue to put your body through this is going to be something he's going to have to figure out too. Because, again, like you've talked about, it is wild to think about how he has sustained some of his injuries. Like there's the one that everybody saw in Philadelphia where he got smoked in the middle of the end zone and in the head, and you're talking about a concussion. But what I guess it was the Pittsburgh game on Thursday night a few years ago where he's diving.
Laying out for a catch.
Gets hurt there. And it was scary. I mean, that one was scary to go back and watch.
Yeah,
and
now you've got this one delay, right?
In practice where you're laying out for a catch and you break your collarbone. Like, it's pretty wild the different ways that he's been hurt.
Yeah, and it's just some guys that just can't avoid it, and he's one of those guys. K-Dot says, that trade is why John Robinson's still unemployed. Well, I would argue that John Robinson, I don't know what's next for him, but he's continuing to get paid well.
He's getting paid very well.
So there is that. But it doesn't help. I mean, the GM second chance thing is difficult anyway. And I mean, this does keep reminding people, of like that movie made, like the worst movie made of all the moves he made.
Yes, it does.
Among many rough ones late.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Cam Ward turning some heads over the weekend with some throws that he made. We'll react to that. Coming to next, take your thoughts on Cam Ward as well. 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. 1025 The Game and Souls for Souls have teamed up for a school fundraiser, Souls for the 615, to provide new shoes for kids experiencing homelessness in Nashville. You can help a child in Middle Tennessee step into the new school year with confidence by donating $20 for a new pair of athletic shoes. For more information and to donate, visit thegamenashville.com/shoes. Souls for the 615, sponsored by Mesero and 12th South. Go check them out for the handcrafted cocktails, bowl plates, great happy hours, and elevated hospitality. Again, thegamenashville.com/shoes, where you can check that out. Cam Ward throwing the football around, slinging around a little bit over the weekend at the open practice at Nissan Stadium. And, Joe, a couple of throws have made the rounds in the NFL, including one where he escapes to his left. He's getting chased. May or may not have been sacked on the play, but he throws one back across the body right over the middle of the field. Calvin Ridley hits him in stride. And that was a wow throw that Cam Ward made over the weekend that generated a lot of buzz around the league. Made a couple of more throughout the day as well. And it got people talking about Cam Ward. He hops on the NFL Network after the practice is over and starts talking about that. And then you have some headlines coming out of Cam Ward made some pretty good throws out there. What's he going to look like for the Titans? What did you make of some of those throws that we saw over the weekend from Cam Ward?
Very good practice throws. I'm not trying to throw cold water or anything.
The first one
you described, it was
a pretty good throw.
It was nice, man.
I did see one Titans fan. I can't remember where I saw it. But, you get to this time of year, Joe, my For You page on Twitter is deep into, Titans football accounts that I don't actually follow, but they pop up on my screen. And it was like, I think there's only, three quarterbacks in the league that can make that throw. And it's like,
let's not. No. But – yeah, I thought one of the more interesting things was the interview. This is always great. We have a 4-hour pre-show meeting. I was distracted by Alyssa Milano, but
you were.
But do we have by chance the TD interview with Cam? I can find it if not. But
from this past weekend,
it was from post game.
I'll
paraphrase. It's fine. I'll paraphrase Ridley. Essentially, he was like, "It's really I don't know that he was trying to compare him to Will Levis, but he's like, it's really good to have a quarterback who can put air under the ball and let you run
under.
And that's the thing. Although I think Cam Ward has a bigger arm than say Shedeur Sanders, my thing with Shedeur Sanders is look at the touch on the throws, look at the accuracy and the placement. That's why I thought he was the best QB in this draft. That is, Levis and Levis and Malik Willis, for example. Last year, we were like, who has the bigger arm? They can both throw it through a barn, right? Big cannon arm, but do you have the touch on throws like that? And I do think we're seeing, and you saw it at Miami too. He's got a really nice touch on the deep ball. Now, Levis was actually supposed to be one of the best things about Levis. He did throw some great deep balls too. like his first game. But I feel like there is an upgrade there. There's obviously a huge upgrade right now at this moment with Ridley and Ward on the same page and making these plays, whereas like 3 weeks from now last year, we're still asking Ridley and Levis, are you guys ever going to get in sync? So that is hugely different.
That, and that to me is the most meaningful thing of all this. Like, I would expect Cam Ward being a number one overall pick. He needs to make some wow throws throughout training camp, right? Like, I would be very disappointed if he didn't make a few throws in training camp where you're like, wow, look at that throw by the number one overall pick. So, great. He made some this weekend. That's awesome. Let's go see what happens when the games come around. What I take away from the first week so far, and again, I wasn't there. Like, I've been in Florida, so it's not like I've had a front row seat to any of this. But just some of the things that I've heard you guys discuss that, you know, people have written about is that him and Ridley seem to really be finding each other. And that, to me, is probably – as meaningful as anything else when it comes to the offensive side of the ball. Like you said it last year, it took forever. Like it was so long. I mean, they never got to a point in camp between Levis and Ridley where they were connecting with any sort of regularity.
I mean, well into the season, we were like, oh my God, this Ridley signing looks terrible.
Yeah. And you know, was it the Colts game early in the year where he got targeted 8 times and didn't catch a ball?
Right. Hard to do.
It's hard to do in the NFL with your number one guy. So, the fact that those two appear to be really building some chemistry this early into camp, I think is a really good thing. Now, I heard, you know, some Titans friends of mine were talking about this, and it's a fair question. All right, Ridley looks pretty good so far. How much of that is Ridley? How much of that is the defense and the corner group that he's going up against without L'Jarius Sneed right now? I don't know. I don't know what the answer to that question is. We always ask some version of that question each year in training camp of how good is your guy and what does that mean for how bad maybe the other side of the ball actually is at this point. But I think if you're a Titans fan and you're watching not only some of the throws that he made on Saturday, but who he made them to in Calvin Ridley, I think that has to pique your interest a little bit. You got to be excited about that.
Yeah, and look, every defense and every play, there's a weak spot. Like, there's a play to be made on every play. I mean, like any defensive coordinator will tell you, like, you may get a sack, you may have a perfectly timed blitz and blow it up, but if you miss the tackle, you're exposed maybe in multiple areas. And even in a, you know, when you drop into coverage, there is someone open. There's something. That play to me was one of those, he just found a hole and dropped it in beautifully. So Easton Freeze wrote about this, AZ Sports, wrote about the TD interview. Here's the quote. Quote from Ridley, quote, you see that touch he had on it? Yeah, he gave me time to run under it. They're easy catches, so that's what I love about him. It's not, you know, hard catches. He has some touch. He let me run right under it, and it was soft. So, man, that's all a receiver's ever wanted, end quote. So there you go.
It's not, you know, again, I'm not very saying, difficult to catch the football from him.
Yeah. He's not throwing huge, like, concrete blocks at me like Will Levis did. No. I mean, I have no idea if he's – making a subtle comparison there or not, but all I know is they seem to be doing well together. And if you're the Titans and you want to have any offense this year, there's a guy who you know actually has the talent to produce for you.
Oh, and we've talked about this before too, and you know, TD brought this up throughout minicamp and throughout the offseason of it seems pretty clear that Ridley is taking on more of a leadership role, and it's been a tangible thing. You know, again, still the most important thing for him is how productive are you going to be this year. But, you know, the fact that he seems to be really invested, and he was even talking over the weekend about, like, don't worry about the fans. Like, when we give them something to watch, they're going to come. I ain't worried about the fans. Like it just seems like it's a different version of Calvin Ridley heading into this year. Again, what does that mean when the football gets played? We'll see, because that's really the only thing I care about. How productive is he going to be? But it's nice to see those two connecting this early in camp when it was a total absence of it last year.
Yeah, it is very, very different. So, yeah, look, it's going to be overblown. It's going to be over-replayed.
Yes.
But at least you have – it's better than, like, not having anything. Or it's better than, like, oh, God, you're going to show that terrible interception again? There's, like, some weird thing going on with J.J. McCarthy and the Vikings. Have you seen this thing?
Yeah.
It's like there's like Bears accounts that are like, I don't know. I know our beat writer, I think we've had him on, Alec, he like retweeted this and said, by the way, this is a clip from last year, and it's not true that he's thrown like 15 picks in camp or whatever. Like Bears fans are trying to just like fake news the Vikings right now and the J.J. McCarthy. So, you know, who knows? You got to look out there. Are there any Jags accounts?
Quarterback right now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Are there any Jags accounts out there that are like saying Cam Ward's like a total disaster? I don't know. Is this the new thing in the NFL?
We'll have to get our resident Jacksonville expert, Corey Curtis, on the show later. I'm sure he'll take a dig or two at the Jags.
He's probably out there saying, hey, Travis Hunter, looks like he runs about a 5.240, huh, Jags? John Jags fans,
they've actually
luck.
Got him playing defensive end. He's yeah. not playing cornerback or wide receiver.
He's really bulked up, I guess, huh? That's actually his spot all along.
PK put it this way, his Cam Ward's performance on Saturday at paulkuharski.com said, Cam Ward did some very nice things, looked poised and in control overall. Not everything was smooth, with a couple of mistakes and a couple of plays that qualified as getting the job done, and then went into some detail about what he saw from Cam Ward there. But all in all, the general consensus seems to be, and I think Jim Wyatt put this out there, that he felt like Saturday was Cam Ward's best day of practice to this point. So, again, we talked about it before camp. You're going to see some days where Cam Ward looks really good in training camp, and you're probably going to see some days where he and the offense don't look very good in training camp, and that's part of it. But does he, as camp goes on and we get closer to game time, does he start to show more control, more mastery of what they're asking him to do out there? That's really the only thing I care about with Cam Ward throughout campus. Are you getting to a point where by game one rolls around, are you as prepared as you can possibly be given your situation of not ever having played an NFL snap before to get out there, protect yourself, operate the offense?
Yeah. Yeah, and look, all indications are positive, you know? I would say at this point, you know, there aren't huge red flags. There aren't, like, the offense has definitely, like, been dominated some by the defense, which early in camp, that's usually the case. I mean, if that didn't happen at all, boy, you'd really, I think, start to question this defense, right? So,
yes.
There'll be ups and downs. But I think right now, very early, not a ton of information, but it's mostly been good.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll take your thoughts on Cam Ward and the Titans. If you were there at Nissan Stadium and watched the practice on Saturday, we'll take your thoughts on that as well. 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 the game. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, our phone number. As Ed points out on the text line, Joe, referring to Cam Ward, as the great Andy Dufresne said, hope is a good thing, maybe the best of things.
Nice.
There's a lot of hope with Cam Ward right now based on some of the things that we've seen in week one.
Well done. I'd say there's a better chance that Cam Ward becomes at least a good quarterback in the NFL than Andy Dufresne making it through that stream of poop and starting a nice little bed and breakfast in Mexico.
Yeah, percentages are higher for Cam Ward for sure.
I mean, he did a good job of you know, planning that all out, but still, man, that was tough.
I mean, that was on
that was threading a needle.
Always. I mean, look, I'm sure if we scrolled the TV right now, you could probably find Shawshank on somewhere. I found it at the Disney Resort last week.
Did you?
Yeah.
It's funny. It's really weird that this comes up because this weekend we were flipping around, and I actually was hoping that it would come on, and it didn't. So
maybe it's
I hope
not looking for it.
Yeah, I hope we're not. I hope it never gets to the point where it's not frequently on, because yeah. Everybody should watch that movie like 10 times.
When I see it on, I will generally – I'll stop and watch it. I don't know – I will not always watch all of it, but I'll watch at least 5-10 minutes
yeah,
of
you
it.
Can't, yeah. Yeah, you can't it not stop at least for a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a great movie.
Great, great movie.
On the short list of all-time greats, and one that I've seen.
Yeah.
Better than Office Space.
Yeah. I would agree. I would agree that it's better than Office Space. But I'm glad you saw Office Space and you can acknowledge that it's pretty freaking good.
It's good. It's good. I like it. Taking your thoughts on Cam Ward, 615-737-1025, our phone number. I over the next couple of weeks here, it's going to be interesting to see. You know, I talked about his connection with Ridley. What about the rookie wide receivers? Can he develop a consistent – rapport with either IO Manor, I guess Restrepo you can throw in there, DK, like how many of those guys start to really emerge over the next couple of weeks here where by the time the first game comes around, you feel good about putting them on the field and then being able to give you something in week one? That's kind of that next step. Like him and Ridley and their connection is going to be the most important thing because based on where their receiving core is right now, like Calvin Ridley should be targeted a lot this year. Like Calvin really needs to have the ball thrown his way a lot. And, you know, the defenses are going to know that too. So they're going to do everything they can to try to take Calvin Ridley away. But does any of these rookies over the next couple of weeks here start to generate enough buzz in camp where it's like, man, IO Manor's looking great out there. Let's see if he's ready to go against Denver on week one and get significant snaps.
Yeah, that's early for, with him being really cautious in my mind, but, you know, good indications. You know, it's like that very first game, Ridley, Lockett, you know, I mean, if I had to guess right now, like targets, my guess would be like those two would have like 80% of receiver targets in the first game. And if I'm wrong, like IO Manor has, you know, made himself a key guy right from the jump. That's awesome. That's a great sign for a fourth round pick.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if he's even in the mix and in the rotation and getting like 20, 25 snaps or something like that in the first game, I think that's good.
I agree, yeah. Ridley had 120 targets last year in 17 games. His career high was 2020, where he only played 15 games. He had 143 targets that year. Like, honestly, with where their offense is right now, like I think in Jacksonville you had 136. Like that's probably what I'm looking for is 136 to 140 targets somewhere in that neighborhood. With where their receiving core is right now, that's probably what Calvin Ridley needs to give you this year. You need to throw the ball his way a lot.
Yeah,
if you're the Titans,
yeah, he's great with the ball in his hands too. That's the thing. He may not be a top number one receiver. You know, he's a lower end number one receiver. He'd be a great number two receiver, but that's the reality of this receiving core. On this team, he's clearly the number one receiver. And so was 120 targets last year. And how many catches?
He had
64 catches last year.
I mean, like basically a 50% rate. That's got to be way higher. So 140 targets and like 95 catches.
Yeah.
You know, something like that would be much better. I mean, 50% on 120 targets is wild.
Yeah, he had 143 targets in 2020 and caught 90 passes. Like that's a little bit more what you're looking for.
Right. Like, that sounds like an NFL
it's
season.
It's pretty hard to do. Like the, you know, and you're hoping, if you're a Titans fan, that is mostly to do with the quarterback throwing in the football last year of 64 catches on 120 targets. Now, I think we know if you watched him, a lot of it was on the quarterback. Some of it early especially was on him. For sure.
But that's the thing. What you hope, of course, is because we had the conversation with Michael Dorako last camp about Ridley and that offense and all that stuff and the slow start. And I think that was part of it. You can't put it all on Levis. But, okay, well, now he's been in for a whole year. He's been the guy. He's been in the system for a whole year. He's got a quarterback he likes better, clearly, who, you know, does some things better than Levis. And so you hope it takes off. Might end up being, I mean, everybody, you know, don't – everybody brace yourselves. Might end up being a good Rand Carthon signing.
May end up. May have cooked with that signing.
Might have cooked.
The interesting –
might be a casserole.
The Lockett target number is going to be interesting to me too because he went through a stretch from 2019 to 2023 where he was getting targeted – basically 110 times a year, a little bit more than that. So he got targeted 110 times in 2019. And then after that, for the next 4 years, it was 132, 107, 117. And his at age 31 in 2023, he still got targeted 122 times in that Seattle offense. Last year, even though he played in every game, it dropped all the way down to 74. He went from 122 targets in 2023 to 74 last year. So what does that tell you And what is that number going to look like with the Titans this year? That to me is going to be really interesting. Like, does he approach 70 targets this year? Or are you going to look at it and you're going to be like, wow, they only targeted Tyler Lockett like 58 times throughout the year?
Yeah, good question. You know, I think that Smith and Jigba made a big jump, right?
I mean,
last year. That was part of it. But that does make you wonder about, you know, about Lockett just becoming – I mean, why do you become – yeah, because last year he's 100 for 11, 30, and 6.
Yep. Smith Jackson, and Jigba.
Jackson Smith and Jigba with the Seahawks. So that's part of it that makes sense. The other part of it is like, okay, does that mean that Lockett diminished so much that, you know, he just became less of their offense? I mean, I think that's got to be part of it.
Well, there's coaching change too. You had a new coach in there. So what's that all that dynamic kind of look like? I guess my question is, like, is there a scenario this year where the Titans, where you're targeting Ridley, whatever it is, 125 times, 130 times, and Lockett, you're able to get him, you know, 65 or 70? Like, are you throwing the ball that much? Is there anybody else with the rookies that emerges that takes some of those targets away from those two?
Yeah. How much do you target any tight ends?
Right. Exactly.
Any tight ends who are going to command a lot of targets? I mean, Gunnar Helm's out there making some plays, missing some plays. You know, I know he's the draft pick, and I think he's going to be a part of it, but I don't right now have any indication like he's all of a sudden just going to become, you know, like some rookie of the year guy. Yeah, you know, so. But I would think that Lockett would be second, and I would think there'd be Ridley, Gap, Lockett, Gap, and then who, you know?
It's a good question.
there are multiple candidates, but I just don't know who becomes a regular. You know, again, you got Van Jefferson out there, you got Bryce Oliver out there. I mean, you know, any of these guys could potentially kind of become the third guy from whatever spot they're playing.
Brian Callahan said something over the weekend that, number one, I hope is true, and number two, if it is, hopefully means better things for the Titans on the defensive side of the ball than maybe I thought. We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.